From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 79, the episode that powers itself.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange Homegrown Hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting on the web at asmallorange.com.
Hey guys, don't forget to check us out on Reddit. That is reddit.com/r/deemable or deemable.com/reddit. You can vote for which story you think we should talk about on this show and submit stories of your own.
That's right. And let's get right into the big stories in the tech world for this week. Here is this week's rundown. Tumblr, Tinder, Wikipedia, and Twitter have all updated their websites and mobile apps.
Ooh.
Yep, the new Tinder app adds the ability to connect to a cutie using an Instagram account. So now you can swipe pics with a Kelvin filter to the left and with Early Bird to the right.
Oh.
Because apparently those are the favorite and least favorite Instagram filters.
I'm going to be completely transparent here. I did not understand anything you just said.
Well, Tinder is the dating app where you swipe to the left if you don't like the face, and you swipe it to the right if you do like the face.
Okay.
And Instagram is that annoying app that people use to take pictures of their food.
And then you add filters.
And then you put filters on it to make it look like you're not using a high-tech piece of equipment. So, and you're actually using a camera from the late 60s or 70s.
So what do the Kelvin and Early Bird filters look like?
They look like crap, like all the other filters.
All right, then that's my question.
Moving on. The new Tumblr app loads GIFs better than ever before.
Oh, yeah.
Because the only reason why anyone actually uses Tumblr is to look at GIFs. And yes, the word is pronounced GIF. It's not peanut butter. I don't care what Steve Wilhite says.
True dat.
Wikipedia improved the mobile version of its site, making it more readable and better at displaying images.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool if you have a Wikipedia on your phone.
Mm-hmm. I do.
And Twitter changed its homepage for users that are not signed in, or if you just don't have a Twitter account. Now, when you go to the Twitter homepage, instead of just seeing a login screen like it used to be, or, you know, for comparison, just like Facebook is, it's just a login screen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you go to the Twitter homepage, though, now you'll see several curated channels of tweets. So you'll see like cooking and sports or whatever, and you'll see a bunch of tweets on there. So the idea is that people who never use Twitter and they're checking it out to see what it is, they'll get an idea of what it's about before you even sign up for it.
And then run screaming out of the room.
When I went there earlier, I guess it was based on what was ever in the search bar.
Ooh.
And there was nothing in there. So it just had like empty search field at the headline for
the
group of tweets.
That's useful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on Sunday, the fifth season of HBO's hit show Game of Thrones began, but by that time, the first four episodes had already leaked online by Saturday evening.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah, Torrent Freak reports that the first episode was downloaded over 100,000 times within the first 3 hours after it appeared.
Wow.
Now, HBO has been making an effort to crack down on sites that are illegally streaming the show, but they don't seem to be doing anything about the relatively high-quality torrents, which appear to be ripped from watermarked DVD screeners that have appeared on all the major torrent sites. Now, don't forget, you now have more options for getting your legal Game of Thrones fix, thanks to HBO Now's availability on iOS devices, and to HBO becoming a part of DirecTV's Sling TV app.
You know, it's always kind of been a measurement of how good a show is by how much it's torrented.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I know, like, HBO a while ago, they were bragging about how much it was being torrented.
Mm-hmm. But I think in the case of Game of Thrones, it's almost to an increased level because of the fact of how relatively inaccessible the content is. Like,
sure.
HBO is relatively hard to get, whereas something that's on Hulu Plus, well, you could subscribe to Hulu Plus. It's not that hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, until just recently, it was really hard to get your hands on HBO stuff online in a legal way.
Yeah, I wonder if this will decrease a little bit once HBO Now spreads to, you know, all platforms, to Roku and all that kind of stuff. I know that there will still be people torrenting these episodes, but I wonder if that will make a difference.
I would think so.
Well, researchers have created a camera that powers itself. Essentially, the camera's light sensors also work as photovoltaic cells creating power.
Huh.
So, you know, photovoltaic cells are those that are in solar panels, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So basically, this camera could effectively work forever without a battery.
As long as it has light.
As long as it has light, right? Which, I mean, that's assuming that the sun still works. As long as the sun's still working, it'll be okay.
I've heard the sun stops working every night.
Oh, my.
That's true. In the evening, I guess you couldn't take pictures at night when it's dark. Because you can't take pictures in the dark.
Oh, that's generally what I've been doing wrong.
Does this camera not have a flash on it?
The prototype that they built does not.
Yeah.
Basically, the light sensors in cameras, actually, I didn't know this until I read the story. The light sensors turn that light into electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that electricity is converted into a digital file.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of made sense. They were like, oh, we could just use it to create electricity that it will then use to take a picture.
Sure.
Now, the prototype only shoots in 30 by 40 resolution.
Whoa, hold the phone there. That's no megapixels, okay?
No.
That's less than like 0.1
30
megapixels.
Dots by 40 dots. And it only shoots at once a second.
Oh, okay.
Because I guess it takes that long to charge up in between shots. But you know, still, that is a pretty big deal. You're talking about a device. It's like a self-perpetuating device.
Yep.
It powers itself.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I imagine you could put a battery on it and then charge the battery, and then you could take more pictures faster, and it might work better. There's definitely a lot of room for improvement, but this is the first camera that has ever powered itself using solar power. But still, the NSA did place an advance order for 20 pallets once they hit VGA resolution.
I believe the very first digital camera I had a 30 by 40 resolution. It was really bad.
I did have a, what's it, 120 by whatever. It was like below VGA quality. I remember that. It was a lot of fun. You know, we need to have some way to show when we're being sarcastic. Because sometimes it's so much fun to read fake news as real news.
Yeah. The NSA thing.
But we're not Comedy Central. They did not actually place any orders.
We can just play some jaunty music behind us whenever that comes up.
Some Benny Hinn theme behind us. And now we're going to get sued. All right.
I think we have some serious news.
We do have a little serious news. We're going to go over to Europe. Not physically. We're going to stay here in the studio.
Come along with us on the adventure.
In your mind's eye, we'll go to Europe.
Through the power of radio.
So this week...
Sorry.
Serious.
This week, the European Union Competition Regulator announced that the EU intends to file antitrust charges against Google.
Okay.
The regulator accuses Google of abusing its dominance of the European search engine market by favoring its own comparison shopping tool over competitors, and that's Google Shopping, which I feel like hasn't really made a huge splash.
Like Google Shop. Who cares about Google Shop?
Yeah, I don't really think about it, but Google commands actually over 90% of the search engine market in Europe. And here it's only about 67% here in the U.S.
Wow.
I found that very surprising.
Who's getting the rest of the search engine results?
Bing.
Bing, I guess.
I thought that was just a joke. I thought that was eventually would just go away.
You know, if you use Internet Explorer and you were, you know, on Windows 7 or whatever. Yeah.
That's true.
In other words, I'm talking about your grandmother.
Yeah, right.
The EU Commission has been investigating Google for a long time. They've actually been investigating Google for this and probably a few other things for about 5 years.
They really wanted to sue them for something.
Yeah, they really want to sue them. Google nearly settled the case last year, but the deal fell apart over objections from European Union member countries and rival tech companies. Google did respond in a blog post with its defense. More people use its services simply because they are better than anything else out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I was saying, I feel like I've never really used Google Shopping. It does pop up when you search for something. It'll pop up on like the top.
I see
or
it
the
on my
side.
Way to Amazon. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I mean, so what? I mean,
maybe they don't have Amazon in Europe. Maybe that's the problem. They have to go to Google Shopping.
Well, Google Shopping doesn't sell anything though. It's just a listing of
Yeah.
Things that are for sale on other websites.
Presumably they're pushing ads or there's some kind of revenue stream there.
That's the thing I never understood, because I remember, yeah, this has been kind of sitting in the background for the longest time. But yeah, who cares? I mean, what's it going to go to otherwise? You know?
Yeah.
I guess to a competitor's shopping tool?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, I guess my understanding of this is that, Google's in a weird place, right? So it's got the top search engine, and then because it's got the top search engine, it builds a lot of nice products that are also the top products in their category, which people then use.
Mm-hmm.
So if you search for, I guess, comparison shopping, their thing comes up. The question is, did it come up as the first result because it's Google and they control the search engine, or because the most people really want to go to their shopping tool? And you could probably substitute shopping tool for, you know, email or any other product where Google's really dominant.
Yeah, I think one of the things that the EU regulators had a problem with was that when you search any product, it does come up with the Google Shopping, like, window or whatever you want to call it. The frame that's on the side of the search results. So they're saying, oh, you know, you're giving special treatment to your own thing by putting it there, having it visual instead of, you know, letting people go through some other comparison shop.
Yeah. That's the thing. I've seen a lot of websites that do those shopping comparison things, and they're all terrible. I mean, and I've seen a lot. I've seen several dozen, I would say, and none of them do it well.
Yeah.
So again, you know, when a company has a monopoly, it's not a good thing for competition. It's not a good thing for the consumer. But the company's only doing something bad when they're strategically doing something to keep the competition out of business or make it where they can't compete. If there's one company doing it well and the rest of them stink, should that company then be forced to put the other companies, give them a more of an advantage?
Well, this is, you know, and you just said the word monopoly. Like, are they a monopoly? Because there's nothing to stop anyone at any moment from going to your browser and typing in Bing or Yahoo.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, the idea
is ask.com.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
The idea is not that the Google search engine is the monopoly. It's shopping. It's specifically the shopping. So in the Google search engine, if, I don't know, let's do an example. Let's look up stereo headphones.
Okay.
All right. We're going to search for stereo headphones. I want to buy some new headphones because the ones I tried earlier are broken. Okay. So the first thing that comes up is shop for stereo headphones on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is apparently sponsored. So, you know, we've got Newegg, we've got Musician's Friend, B&H Photo.
Yeah.
This is just what happened to come up when I did it.
Yeah.
Now, under that, under the non-sponsored, there's CNET's best headphones of 2015.
Yeah.
Best Buy, Walmart, Amazon. So, you know, I don't see anything in here of a company that helps you shop. So right off the bat, I see, you know, Amazon and Walmart and Best Buy, which are all stores where you can literally buy something from them, not a site that, you know, guides you to a bunch of different sites to buy something. So
that's true.
I do see some legitimacy that they're in the top search results. Clearly, they're not prioritizing other companies that do the same thing as Google Shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I don't... Well, okay, and then the next page is Overstock and another PC Mag comparison. Mm. Again, though, I don't know of any good websites that do the same thing that Google Shopping does.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever used Google Shopping. If I'm going to, like, look for a price on whatever headphones, I'm just going to go directly to Amazon, go to Newegg, go to Best Buy, and search for it myself.
Yeah, the stores.
Really?
Yeah.
Both of you guys? Okay, so I'm the outlier. Yeah. Every time I look for something, I go straight to the Google Shopping results.
Really?
Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
I never buy something from there because you can't buy anything from Google Shopping.
Yeah.
But I do look through them. I look through the different prices, especially if I know a very specific item that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I look to see the comparison of what they are at different places.
Mm-hmm.
But then I go and I search Amazon specifically. I'll search eBay. Mm-hmm. I'll search other sites. Like today, I bought the MCam Lite iPhone adapter that lets you put lenses on your iPhone.
Mm.
And yeah, that's exactly what I did. I looked on Google. I looked on Amazon. I finally ended up buying it used on eBay.
Yeah.
So, and that's usually how I do things. But again, show me something that is even comparable. You can't tell me that they're holding the competition back if there is no competition that's doing a decent job at this. And I mean, maybe I've never seen it because I always use Google and they never show it to me.
Yeah,
that's true. So maybe that's it. So a challenge for the audience, if you know of a good shopping comparison site, let us know.
Yeah.
You know, tweet us at Deemable, post it on our Facebook page.
Here's a question. Now that we're looking through this, like the more obvious thing to me is, like, if you're going to go after something like this, where it's a thing that Google does and they put it prominently placed in a special section with searches, why didn't they go after maps?
Yeah, like, that's true.
Maps is much more prominently, like, here's our Google Maps. You know, you search for things. Here's a prominently placed Google Map link. Yeah. Here's the image.
I think that probably because maps is a loss leader.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that Google, as far as I know, they're not making money at it. You know, they're losing money at maps, but they provide that service because it keeps people in the Google ecosystem.
Yeah. But I mean,
and it adds value to the Google brand and Android brand. And
but if you're like, to me, that's a much more successful product than Google Shopping. If I was going to go after, like, if I was going to try and get Google for something like this, I'd be like, I'm going to go after maps because nobody cares about shopping. But again, it's the EU. Maybe things are different there. Like you said, maybe they're very Google shopping dependent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the EU did a lot of this type of stuff with Microsoft.
Oh, they went running around for like a decade or two.
Yeah. But I don't remember what it was all about.
They just finished, apparently, another round of things about Internet Explorer. I'm like, that's still going on.
Yep. And that's what, you know, and to talk about that for a second, about the Microsoft Internet Explorer thing, they went after Microsoft because Internet Explorer was built into the operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Because it literally, Windows Explorer was Internet Explorer, essentially. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we can't undo it because it is what it is. It's built into it. But now we have these devices that are commonplace, like the iPhone, iPad, Android devices, that all have built-in web browsers, and we just take it for granted that they are built-in.
Mm-hmm.
At least with Android, you guys can swap out your default browser to something else. Mm-hmm. iOS users can't. We're just stuck with Safari, which I will rant about for just a second. As a Mac user and an iOS user, it is so annoying that I love Chrome on the Mac. I don't like Safari on the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with Safari on iOS because it is the native choice, and I don't like dealing with a non-native browser, even though Chrome is okay on the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so annoying that I can't use them together.
Yeah.
Because, like, my Chrome Cloud, you know, tabs don't go over to Safari and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I ever want to use Cloud tabs, I have to open up Safari on my Mac. I'm like, can I get out of here now? Okay, fine. At least Handoff does. They did a good job with Handoff with Yosemite, where if I'm on Safari on the iPhone, it pops up in Chrome on the Mac with a web page.
Hmm.
So they did a good job there. And actually back and forth now, it works. So
cool.
Cloud Tabs doesn't, but at least Handoff does.
Well, I'm sure we will have another 10 years or so to talk about this.
Yeah.
Antitrust lawsuit.
Yeah, they'll keep going after them.
Do we have any more news stories to talk about?
Actually, yes. One that I didn't put in the notes that was a big story last week, but we weren't on the show last week, or at least you guys weren't.
Yeah.
I had a little brief episode that I did
heard that.
By
I heard
myself.
That.
Did you guys hear about the podcast patent?
Yes.
Big deal. It actually impacts us directly, kind of. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office on April 10th, and I'm actually reading directly from CircaNews.com. I'll include the link to it. They invalidated several claims of a patent that was used to sue several well-known podcasters like Mark Marone and
Mark Maron.
That one. that guy too. Adam Carolla.
Corolla.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Marone.
But yeah, this company, Personal Audio, this patent trolls basically, demanded $3.5 million from Adam, and Basically, they settled out of court, so we don't know what happened with the settlement. But yeah, they went against Mark and.
My understanding is after they kind of went after those guys for a little bit, they stopped going after podcasters because they basically said, "Oh, whoops, podcasters don't have money." And then they went after Microsoft, which smart move.
Yeah. But yeah, so apparently it is over with. They have completely shut that down. The podcast patent is just worthless now to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited because it was stupid.
Now, I actually really don't know anything about this story. Like, why?
They claim they had a patent on podcasting from the 90s.
1996, it was patent number 8,112,504. That describes a system for disseminating media content representing episodes in a serialized sequence.
Huh.
But at that point, the concept was already out there, and it didn't make sense for them to have that patent because it didn't actually explain how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't patent a concept.
Yeah.
You know, RSS was invented later, and podcasting was built off of RSS feeds. So how could you say that you invented something that hadn't even been invented yet? apparently it got a bunch of attention. This case got a bunch of attention because of Serial, which, everyone discovered podcasting because of Serial. I didn't even hear of podcasting until Serial came out. Had no idea.
You didn't know what we were doing.
I didn't know why we kept making these RSS feeds and putting them in iTunes.
It's not like we've been doing this show for like 3 years.
What? It's been 3 years? Yeah, and I was podcasting before that for other things.
We were podcasting before it was cool.
Yeah, well, we were podcasting after it was cool, but before it was cool again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We jumped on the first train, and then the train broke down, and then they started the train back up again. that took a lot to explain. Yeah. Okay. So, so that's really exciting. I am happy that the trolls lost.
Good.
Because it always feels like the trolls win.
Yeah.
You know, they come up with an idea and they patent it and then they fight it.
Well, I think they lose eventually, but it's always after like years of lawsuits and legal wrangling and people spending millions of dollars on things that shouldn't matter.
I wonder, I feel bad that Adam settled. I wonder how much, I really want to know how much.
Well, I guarantee it wasn't for millions of dollars. Because like they said, like that company, basically had a press release or something along those lines where they said, we're not going to go after podcasters anymore. They don't have any money.
Yeah.
So I suspect they, probably turned him upside down, shook him, got a couple pennies, and were like,
Yeah.
Well, he's one of the big ones, so that's not good.
Yeah, the biggest thing was that apparently there were internet shows that predated the patent, which mm-hmm. was really what struck, mm-hmm. what helped strike it down.
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently the big one was Geek of the Week, which I had not heard of, but it existed.
Thank them.
Geek of the Week. Yeah, absolutely.
Good job, guys.
We should do a Geek of the Week award here on Deemable.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Our first Geek of the Week goes to Sean Birch.
Oh.
All right. Yeah.
We're coming up with the idea of Geek of the Week.
Thank you so much. I feel so honored. I have to thank my family.
Oh, yeah. Do you feel successful?
All right, so we play them off.
Do you feel successful?
I do.
This is a segue.
What a segue.
Yes.
Well, our last story is a little bit of fun. It's kind of fun. Success story. Success kid. The cherubic kid from Jacksonville, actually, our hometown. The boy with a fistful of sand and triumph in his eye. He has another success story to add to his resume. His dad, Justin Greiner, has been struggling with kidney disease for the past 6 years. And recently, his mom, Lainey Greiner, set up a GoFundMe account, which you guys are familiar with, the crowdfunding website that people set up for anything.
Kind of a Kickstarter type deal?
Yeah, kind of like Kickstarter, except you don't have to have a goal or a project. You can have a goal, not a project.
You can do something personal on there.
Yeah.
You don't have to have end result to it.
A good reason.
Yeah.
You can set up a GoFundMe account for just about anything.
Yeah.
Like, I want to build a fort, a tree fort. Or a fort in my backyard.
Oh, I would definitely fund that.
I'm going to start that today. No, I'm not. But anyways, his mom, Success Kid's mom, set up a GoFundMe account to raise money so that her husband could get a kidney transplant.
Wow.
And the goal was to raise $75,000, which she thought was, you know, kind of crazy, but it's basically the amount of money that they need to make this kidney transplant happen. Mm-hmm. And she said that, you know, she'd be happy with anything. What she didn't do is she didn't mention her son. Her son's name is Sammy, the success kid. She did not mention his internet stardom on the GoFundMe because she didn't want the focus to be on him. She wanted the focus to be on her husband, Justin. But, you know, the internet did what the internet does. It figured out who the cute kid in the picture was because they had a little picture of the couple and the kid.
He was making a triumphant fist. he habitually does this.
Well, he just can't stop it. But, you know, he's a recognizable face.
Yeah.
And it just exploded. They figured out who the kid was, and they just started telling everybody. BuzzFeed called him up. And WJCT called the mom today and did a story about them as well.
Yeah.
Because they're, like I said, they're from here in Jacksonville, where we're at. And so far, the GoFundMe fundraiser has raised almost $90,000.
Wow.
And it is just continuing to grow. So I'm sure by the time we get this episode posted, it'll be a lot more than that.
Yeah. Go success kid.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And his family. And his dad.
Can I be Debbie Downer here?
Okay.
I know people who do GoFundMe, who've done GoFundMe accounts, and they're not successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of grumpy about this. Like, as cool as it is, like, don't get me wrong. I think it's cool whenever the internet just, like, comes together as a community and, you know, supports people. I think that's freaking cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people value what Success Kid, you know, means to them. They feel like he's a part of their family, so I want to help him out, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, hey, Success Kid's dad needs a kindy. Come on, give $5. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, he's kind of an internet celebrity in that weird way the internet has.
Right. But I know people who are doing a GoFundMe for a kidney transplant, and they've raised $300.
Jeez. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're in as bad or worse situation as Justin, you know? And no offense to Justin, I'm immensely happy that they are getting this support and that people are helping them out. That is wonderful. I don't want to cast a shadow on that at all. But at the same time, like I said, I've got friends who are trying to adopt a child because they can't have kids, you know, and they desperately want to adopt a child, but they can't afford to. So they're trying to raise $20,000. And I've got, on the other hand, I know people who are need a kidney and they're not getting anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's really sad to see this happen where, like, oh, if it's a cool story, man, everybody jumps on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember a while back there was a GoFundMe, or no, I think it was Indiegogo, for the bus driver that was being bullied by the middle schoolers.
Not the bus driver.
Yeah. She was the chaparone.
Yeah, vaguely.
Somebody tried to raise, they posted the video of her being bullied on YouTube, and then somebody tried to raise her $5,000, and they raised $150,000 or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we get super happy when we do little things like that, but there's people who have terrible jobs all the time.
And yeah, they sure.
They don't get their Indiegogo.
Well, if the internet is really good at one thing, it is terrific at wildly overreacting to things, both in positive and negative ways.
That's true.
Yeah, but...
And I guess it's all about, you know, if you can help one person, you make a difference.
That's
you
true.
Know, you can't help everybody, you can't save everybody, but if you can save one person...
But it's worth thinking about, you know, if you're like, hey, I want to go help out Success Kid, that's cool. But, you know, also be aware there are other people out there that also need kidneys.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be interesting to see what the Griners do with the excess, if they have excess. Because, I mean...
Well, I'm sure...
With kidneys...
If you need a kidney, you've got other medical bills that you need to pay.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a ways to go before they really hit excess, but...
Yeah.
You know, they might. I mean, they could probably maybe raise in the millions. It wouldn't surprise me if next week we're talking about how they broke $4 million, you know, or something crazy.
Yeah, you never know.
So
it is the internet.
But it'll be interesting to see if they do get into excess, how they'll respond, what they'll say, oh, we're going to give this money to blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
All right. Well, if you have a suggestion or a comment for the show, give us a call, leave us a voicemail. The number is 1-888-972-9868. or you can send us an email to feedback@deambul.com.
And don't forget to help us decide which stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page and submit a story. You know, if you see something fun on the interwebs and you want to tell us about it, go there and tell us about it. And you can vote other stories up or down, too.
It's perfect democracy.
Deambul.com/reddit will take you there. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this has been Deambul Tech.
Hey guys, this is Tom. Every so often we like to do a segment called Shower Thoughts, which is based off one of our favorite subreddits on Reddit called Shower Thoughts, which is just people posting interesting thoughts they had in the shower. So here are some of our favorite shower thoughts as read to you by Sean Birch.
There should be a movie rating based on how awkward it would be to watch with your parents.
They should.
Yeah, yeah.
They really should be.
Absolutely. I want to know that beforehand.
If people winked in real life as much as they do in text messages, the world would be a really creepy place.
We also have very strong eyelids.
I wonder how many browser tabs I've used in my life.
Ooh. I wonder how many I use in a day.
Do we have a limited supply of browsers?
I could calculate that. Probably around 100 to 200 in a day. I researched the news. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Let's stop talking about this. I don't care anymore.
If David Copperfield ever filmed an episode of MTV Cribs, he would introduce every room with, "And this is where the magic happens."
It's true. It's true.
If you take the Juan out of San Juan, does it become Sans Juan?
I was thinking possessive. Like, who's San and why does he have a Juan? That doesn't make any sense at all. Sorry about that. Sans Juan.
What if every book is a Where's Waldo book and we're just not paying enough attention?
Ooh.
What? Mm.
Thanks to blinking, I've never seen the entirety of any film.
Hmm.
Huh. Yeah, because I guess you can't blink faster than a frame.
You know, Google should give you an award if you're the first person to ever Google something.
Oh, yeah.
That would be cool.
Like achievement unlocked.
That'd be pretty awesome.
If you think about it, why... It's just an enthusiastic T.
Like the letters. The letters, right?
I get it, yeah. Arms up. Woo!
How did Daredevil color coordinate his costume?
Ooh.
It'd be great if it was like, you know, clashing pink and green, though.
It should be blue and brown or black and brown. Really, like, horrible, horrible combination.
These have been Shower Thoughts. This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.